Our scripture lesson this morning is from Paul's letter to the Romans. The translation I'll be reading from is The Message. Be a good citizen. All governments are under God. Insofar as there is peace and order, it's God's order. So live responsibly as a citizen. If you're irresponsible to the state, then you're irresponsible with God, and God will hold you responsible. Duly constituted authorities are only a threat if you're trying to get by with something. Decent citizens should have nothing to fear. Do you want to be on good terms with the government? Be a responsible citizen and you'll get on just fine, the government working to your advantage. But if you're breaking the rules right and left, watch out. The police aren't there just to be admired in their uniforms. God also has an interest in keeping order, and he uses them to do it. That's why you must live responsibly, not just to avoid punishment, but also because that's the right way to live. That's also why you pay taxes, so that an orderly way of life can be maintained. Fulfill your obligations as a citizen. Pay your taxes, pay your bills, respect your leaders. Don't run up debts except for the huge debt of love you owe each other. When you love others, you complete what the law has been after all along. The law code, don't sleep with another person's spouse, don't take someone's life, don't take what isn't yours, don't always be wanting what you don't have, and any other don't you could possibly think of. All adds up to this. Love other people as well as you love yourself. You can't go wrong when you love others. When you add up everything in the law code, the sum total is love. These are our sacred stories.
Thank you.
I was probably 8 or 9 years old. I was spending the week with my grandmother and her brother and sister in Batavia, New York, about an hour outside of Buffalo. Batavia is one of those small cities where it feels like time stood still, a real slice of old-time Americana. It was a holiday, and we went to see a parade. There was a gazebo draped in red, white, and blue bunting. Someone handed little American flags to us kids so we could wave them as the parade went by. There was a high school marching band looking sharp in their uniforms. There were older men in uniforms too, wearing badges and medals in what looked like funny hats to me. All that festivity seemed odd since we were in a cemetery. My elderly relatives were calling it Decoration Day, which I probably figured had to do with all the bunting and flags. When the parade was over, I helped the grown-ups pick up potted geraniums so they could place them on the gravesites. Now I know that was Memorial Day, as we call it today. The men in hats and medals were probably members of the VFW post. We were there to commemorate fallen soldiers and remember other loved ones who had died. That vivid memory of red, white, and blue with a marching band is what comes into my mind every time I hear the word patriotism. For me, that was a time of innocence when loving my country and feeling patriotic came easy. Patriotism, that seems like such an old-fashioned notion to me. In fact, I really haven't thought about it much since I was in civics class back in grade school. Still, I've always felt a certain pride in my country, and I've always enjoyed celebrating the 4th of July ever since my childhood. Every year, since our kids were little, we've celebrated the 4th of July with other families at the home of our friends Charlotte and Jeff. They live near Braeburn Country Club, so we always go outside at nightfall to watch the spectacular fireworks show they put on. Our kids run around waving sparklers, and sometimes the 1812 Overture plays on a radio. How can anyone not feel pride and patriotism while celebrating the holiday like that? Now it's 2018. The 4th of July will be here in just a few days. But this year, I must confess to you, it's been kind of difficult for me to feel pride about our country. There are so many things that going on that trouble me, and it's taking a toll on me. I wanted to reignite that spark of patriotism for myself. So when I was asked in March to deliver today's proclamation, I chose words from Paul's letter to the Romans as our reading for today. I wanted to take a look at what our sacred stories had to say about our relationship with government leaders. In today's reading, Paul reminds the gathered Christians to be responsible citizens. He explains that governments have been instituted under God's authority to enforce laws so that all citizens can live in peace and order. He also suggests that the Romans respect their government leaders. Paul's teachings about why citizens should act responsibly and pay taxes make perfect sense to me, even in this day and age. But that last part about respecting your government leaders, I gotta tell you, I struggled when I read those words. I was tempted to file those instructions way back in my brain, along with other instructions in the Bible that seem to have no relevance at all in modern life. You know, like, thou shalt not wear clothing of mixed fibers. To make matters worse, just 2 weeks ago, our Attorney General used these verses from Paul to defend the zero tolerance policy he instituted in April of apprehending everyone who crossed the border, charging every adult with federal crimes, and separating them from their children. In a speech, Attorney General Sessions said, "I would cite you to the Apostle Paul and his clear and wise command in Romans 13 to obey the laws of the government, because God has ordained the government for his purposes." He concluded by saying, I am not going to apologize for carrying out our laws. It turns out that this kind of interpretation of those verses has been used throughout history to justify slavery, segregation, apartheid, and Nazism. According to some Bible commentaries I read, Paul was probably trying to convince Christians, who were a tiny minority at that time, not to do anything that would cast themselves in a bad light so they could fit into the larger society. Paul's words were probably not meant to be a blanket approval for blindly following any and all forms of government. Thankfully, last Tuesday, a federal judge issued an injunction that will block any future separations of families at the border and imposed a tight deadline in which all previously separated children need to be reunited with their parents. Those separations were just the latest actions by our leaders that trouble me. I hate the harsh words that have been spoken against women and against racial and ethnic minorities. I'm troubled by travel bans to block Muslims, by the chipping away at the Affordable Care Act and environmental protections, by the lack of any progress on common sense gun regulations, and by immigration enforcement raids that still take place in workplaces and homes and still split families apart. I'm also troubled by the erosion of civility in our public discourse. To be sure, there is outrage, some justified, some not, on both sides of the political spectrum. But now that the poisonous hate speech that has been unleashed in our society has begun to affect the way Americans treat each other, it worries me even more about the direction our country is heading. Last night, in Idaho, someone went on a stabbing spree in an apartment complex that housed refugees and injured adults and children. Things like this are why I've been asking myself, is it possible for me to rekindle that spark of patriotism on the 4th of July this year? Is it possible to have that feeling of pride in my country again? I decided I needed my own personal civics class. I looked online so I could give myself a little refresher about the true spirit of Independence Day. Of course, the first hit I got when I did a Google search for Independence Day was all about the epic 1996 adventure movie about world annihilation, starring Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum. But when I scrolled down, I did find some reminders about why we fly flags and watch fireworks on holiday. That's why I knew the answer to Jody's question this morning. The day commemorates the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, when 13 American colonies finally declared freedom from the British Empire and regarded themselves as a new nation. Abraham Lincoln talked about the spirit of that day during his Gettysburg Address. In paying homage to those who lost their lives in the struggle, he said, "This nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth." In my brain, I already knew these facts, but in my heart, they were a good reminder. When I'm disappointed about the election of leaders that I didn't vote for, I need to remember that it's worth celebrating that I live in a country where we have the freedom to elect our own leaders. So what can all this talk about responsibility and freedom mean for people of faith these days? What I take away from Paul's lesson is that if we are to succeed at being responsible citizens, then we need to do our own work to help God's peace and order for all citizens. In my mind, this means that we are called to use our hands to vote in the voting booth, to open our wallets to support causes we believe in, to use our pens to write to our legislators, to pick up our feet to march in the Pride Parade or to walk in protest. Because it's up to us to make sure our voices are heard. What speaks to me the most from today's lesson is the last three verses. In a word, they're all about love. Paul reminds us that showing love toward each other is more important than simply adhering to the commandments. When I travel with my son Reuben for soccer, I like to attend churches in other cities. One Sunday, at First Unitarian Universalist Church of San Antonio, it was Bring a Friend to Church Day, so there were a lot of other first-time visitors. In his sermon, the pastor said, "It's difficult for some Unitarians to explain what they believe in, but not for him." He uses three simple words from one of his professors that he thinks sums it all up the best: love beyond belief. That really resonated with me. Love beyond belief. I think any of us can use that idea to apply Paul's lesson, no matter what our beliefs are or where we are in our faith journeys. I'd like to think that love beyond belief can even help keep civility alive. So, this 4th of July, when we drive through neighborhoods with flags waving, and when fireworks begin to explode in the night sky, I'm going to try to remember the precious freedoms we have and the love that we have for each other. I can't think of a better way to ignite that spark of patriotism this year. May it be so for all of us. Amen.